When you turn things over to your imagination, ideas will start coming to you. And they will be practical ideas, practical thoughts. And they will come to you in a flash. The Thinking Yourself into Exponential Results series on the podcast comes to you every Saturday morning and takes what we discuss in the Morning Mindset Club, compiles it into one easy-to-access recording, and gives you some killer bonus content at the end that's not to be missed and only available here. So let's dive right in. Good morning. I'm Amira Alvarez, and thank you for joining me for the Morning Mindset Club. Moving right along here, Hill says, following the preceding statement, which is what we covered yesterday, consider the possibility of playing a perfectly legitimate trick, quote unquote, on your subconscious mind by making it believe, because you believe it, that you must have the amount of money you are visualizing, that this money is already awaiting your claim, and that your subconscious mind must hand over to you practical plans for acquiring the money, which is yours. Okay, let's break this down. Consider the possibility of playing a perfectly legitimate trick on your subconscious mind by making it believe, because you believe it. So in your imagination, you are believing it. You're playing that out because you believe it in your heart. You know it's true for you. You have certainty. You might not know how it's going to happen. You might not know when it's going to happen. But you know, I know this is happening. That's belief. That you must have the amount of money you are visualizing. Okay, so this is the specific trick that Hill is identifying here. Trick yourself into thinking that you must have this money already. Now that it's required, this creates urgency and collapses time. Let me explain. If you really need something, let's say you have a bill to pay, otherwise you're going to be kicked out of your house. The landlord's going to throw you out. That's urgency. You will activate around that. You have some sort of bill to pay. You have some sort of thing that is required. Now, most people, think about those examples that I just gave you. Most people, the requirement comes from outside of themselves. Someone else is going to be mad at me if I don't do this. I have an obligation. Maybe you have a contractual obligation with someone. You've hired someone and you must pay them. You must come up with this money. Okay? That's outside of yourself. Can you do this for the things that you desire that are uniquely your own and not demanded upon by other people? Or what if that demand was something that was just in your imagination? You want something and you must have it. Let's talk about material things. You want that new apartment. You want that new house. You want that new car. You want to go on that new trip. But most of the time you let yourself off the hook around those things and say, I want it, but I don't really need it. It's not a must for me. What if you must have those things? How would you create that urgency for that money? Well, you have to create a time deadline around it. It's absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. And when you trick yourself, maybe there really isn't a time deadline to get the money to go on that trip. But when you convince yourself and trick yourself that you must have it now in order to get that ticket that you really want, and it's going to go away because people are going to book that trip and you can't go on it if it's sold out, or that concert's going to be sold out, or whatever it is that you want, okay? It could be big or small. You have to convince yourself in your imagination that you must have this money. So how are you going to do it? Why must you have this money? Why is it so important to you? Now, this brings up all sorts of things for people, because they've been taught not to desire things in and of themselves, just for the sheer desire of having them, because they make your life better, because it lights you up, because you like it. Like, we've been told that it must be for a bigger purpose. And sure enough, I believe that having a delightful life will lead you to making a bigger impact on all the people around you and will build all of life for more life. Yet you cannot deny that you want it for yourself as well. So look and see if you have a double bind there. Hill goes on to say that you must hand over the thought suggested in the preceding paragraph to your imagination and see what your imagination can or will do to create practical plans for the accumulation of money through transmutation of your desire. So yesterday's quote is what he's referring to in the preceding paragraph there. Here's the thing. When you turn things over to your imagination, ideas will start coming to you. And they will be practical ideas, practical thoughts. And they will come to you in a flash. He goes on to say here that you need to be on alert for these plans. And when they appear, put them into action immediately. When the plans appear, they will probably flash into your mind through the sixth sense in the form of inspiration. This inspiration may be considered a direct telegram or message from infinite intelligence. Treat it with respect and act upon it as soon as you receive it. Failure to do this will be fatal to your success. So here's a few things. You do not want to wait for everything to be laid out in front of you to start acting. You're going to be acting in your imagination. You're going to be seeing things. You're going to be seeing yourself in possession of money. And you will start getting these flashes of inspiration. Now, he says here that they flash into your mind through the sixth sense. I am going to tell you that it's not a sense. It is not a sense. It's not a bodily sense. It's a faculty of your mind. Okay? This is your intuition at work here. Okay? And through your intuition, you get these flashes of insight, and they come to you through infinite intelligence, through the channel that you've created there, by imagining and hooking up to infinite intelligence through your imagination. And the plans will come. You want to be alert, meaning attuned to them, okay? Which means that you need to be constantly evolving that imagination, because you will, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're exploring in your mind's eye. Because when you explore more in your imagination, you go to a higher level of awareness and consciousness, and you will vibrate at another level, and that will connect you to the answer, which is at that level of awareness, not at the current level of awareness that you're at right now. So this is a mental faculty. This is something that you do with your mind, not your body. And then you must act on it as soon as you receive the inspiration. This is where so many people go off track. They get an idea and they say, later, tomorrow, next week, I'll do that when. I'll do that, you know, when the stars align, when I feel better, when I have more energy, when the kids are at school, whatever it is. You must be aware of the delaying tactics that you use to not act on the plans that have been given to you, how you distract yourself, how you throw yourself off course, and instead write them down, act on them. Act on them. Act on them. Did I say it three times? Let's say it again. Act on them. Not later, but now. Everything happens in the now. Here, Hill says, do not trust your reason when creating your plan for accumulating money through the transmutation of desire. Your reason is faulty. Moreover, your reasoning faculty may be lazy And if you depend entirely upon it to serve you, it may disappoint you. Whoa. Okay, this is some big stuff to pay attention to here. Reason is not only one of the six higher faculties of your mind and something that you must master in order to really create, but it's also something that the Western world has given priority to, has said it's super, 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 super important. And yet here, Hill is saying, do not trust it. So we have to splice this apart. We have to understand how it can help and how it can hurt. And he did put reason in quotes here. He says, do not trust your quote reason. And this is because most people use their reasoning faculty faultily. They base it on inaccurate information, on foundations that aren't true. So you must build correct beliefs. It must be ordered, the order with which you use your thinking, your reasoning, your logic, it needs to be ordered. It needs to be based on proper, accurate beliefs. But as you know, as we've been talking about in this whole program, oftentimes our beliefs are based on outdated ideas that are not accurate when we step out of them. They feel accurate when we're in them, but they are actually, in truth, not the basis for good, accurate thinking. So let's look at what some other people have said about this. I have a few quotes for you here. One is from Anne Lamott. She says, "You get your intuition back when you make space for it, when you stop the chattering of the rational mind. The rational mind doesn't nourish you. You assume that it gives you the truth, because the rational mind is the golden calf that this culture worships. But this is not true. Rationality squeezes out much that is rich and juicy and fascinating." And then Albert Einstein is quoted as saying, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift, the sacred gift of the intuitive mind." So your intuition is one of your six higher faculties. It's one of the things that I teach in the Spirit of Wealth Mastermind and Masterclass. You need to master both, though. So it's not an either or decision here. It's just that we've put so much emphasis on the rational mind, and we've squeezed out or made the servant the intuitive mind, when really the rational mind needs to be the servant of the intuitive mind. The intuitive mind is where all your brilliant insights come from. And then you need to use your rational mind to execute on them. But if you've got that order mixed up, you make life very difficult for yourself. And here's a third quote for you from Steve Jobs. It's a little longer. He says, "The people in the Indian countryside don't use their intellect like we do. They use their intuition instead. And the intuition is far more developed than in the rest of the world. Intuition is a very powerful thing, more powerful than intellect, in my opinion. That's had a big impact on my work. Western rational thought is not an innate human characteristic. It is learned, and it is the great achievement of the Western civilization. In the villages of India, they never learned it. They learned something else, which is in some ways just as valuable, but in other ways is not. That's the power of intuition and experiential wisdom." So Steve Jobs here, who's obviously used his intuition powerfully and also his rational mind powerfully, is saying that you need both. You absolutely need both. One without the other doesn't work. So the key to think about here is whether you're letting your rational thinking overshadow your intuitive thinking. Do you go about pro-conning things and choosing the pro list even though your heart is saying something else? Are you putting, let me say it differently, because some people might put their heart in the pro list and that's using their intuition. But if you are cutting yourself off from your feelings, are you only looking at what's rational? That might not give all the picture. the big picture. You must trust your intuition. And this has been so clear for me in so many ways in my life, where when I have trusted my intuition against all rational thought, like investing in big levels, for instance, where it scared me, but I knew this is it. My intuition was saying yes. And then I needed to use my rational thinking to back up my intuition, to say, this is how you're going to make it work. Or when I've looked at hiring people in my business, and the whole pro-con sheet was leaning towards person A, but my heart was saying person B was the right person. Well, in that example, I didn't listen to my intuition, and I went with person A, and it was a huge mistake. It didn't work out. Every time I've used my intuition and then used my rational thinking to support what my intuition is saying to do, so my rational thinking to help create the organized planning, then I have succeeded. So, here now, what do you need to do? How can you assess, let me say it differently, why don't you assess how much emphasis you're giving currently to your rational thinking versus your intuitive thinking? And where has, in the past, can you find an example of when you've listened to your intuitive mind that has worked, and when you've listened to your rational mind that hasn't worked? And can you find examples of the reverse? Can you find an example of listening to your intuition where it was truly your intuition, where it didn't work? And can you find examples of using your rational mind to support your intuition and to really play out and find the next steps and the solutions to your intuitive mind? When visualizing the money you intend to accumulate with closed eyes, see yourself rendering the service or delivering the merchandise you intend to give in return for this money. This is important. Now, first off, I want to admit something here. I probably skipped this sentence, this little section, probably the first 5 or 6 times I read this book. Even though it is italicized and says it's important, I skipped it. And I find that so interesting, right? Isn't that interesting? And this is how the subconscious mind works. It gets you to ignore the things that are right in front of you if you're not actually ready to see them, hear them, go to the next level. Okay, so I thought I was probably better than this, or I didn't have to do it, or I had to be special, or I needed to do it on my own, or I needed to make it hard or challenging or DIY things myself. And that is a really important thing that you want to look at. What are you overlooking in your life? And are you overlooking the key steps that people are telling you? People who have done things that you want to do, people who have the success that you wish to create for yourself. Are you ignoring what they're telling you to do and saying, you know, that's not for me, I don't need to do that, and you just fog out on it? Okay, so in this sentence, in this couple of sentences, he's saying, when you visualize the money you intend to accumulate with closed eyes, look, there's an instruction there. See yourself rendering the service. So you want to visualize yourself giving the service. So what is the service? You want to visualize, if you're in business for yourself, you want to visualize the marketing. You want to visualize the sale. You want to visualize what you do with your clients, how they succeed, how their lives are better. If you are a filmmaker, you want to see yourself having a great agent. You want to see yourself working well with the business development people. You want to see yourself at the Oscars. You want to see yourself at the film festival. You want to see yourself creating the marketing for your film, working with huge teams to help execute on the production. You want to see the great sales of your movie that first weekend. Whatever it is for your particular world, whether that's in your corporate job, it doesn't matter. You want to visualize providing the service at every step of the game, if you will. What is it that you are giving in each of these places? Not just when you are showing the movie or executing proposal with your customer or client, but what are you giving all along the way? And what gets to happen with what you're doing? And what are you communicating? You want to build the value. You want to build and feel the value that you provide, your value, okay? And you want to see it in excruciating detail, just like the athlete visualizing the catch in the end zone, or the shot going into the basketball hoop, or the golf ball landing exactly where you want it. You want to visualize yourself rendering the service and delivering the merchandise in whatever form that looks like for you. Translate it into your life and your business. And I say life here very emphatically. Like, think about the service you're providing and the value you're building and how you're making your life partner's life better, your lover's life better, your kid's life better, your parents' life better, your best friend's life better. It's all the same. If you want better relationships, you need to see this here as well. A quick heads up. If you're loving this material, you can access the full Success and Wealth Consciousness program we have to help you achieve your big financial goals and life dreams for free at theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. You will have access to daily trainings and mindset practices to help you stay focused, clear, and in action. So go get it at theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. Okay, moving right along here. Hill says, the fact that you are reading this book is an indication that you earnestly seek knowledge. It is also an indication that you are a student of this subject. If you are only a student, there's a chance that you may learn much that you did not know, but you will learn only by assuming an attitude of humility. If you choose to follow some of the instructions, but neglect or refuse to follow others, you will fail. He emphasizes that. You will fail. To get satisfactory results, you must follow all instructions in a spirit of faith. Okay, so this is so important. Again, I'm calling myself out here and humbly admit to blowing this off initially. I thought when I read this book the first few times that I didn't have to do all the steps, that I could just read it, that I could just get the parts of this book that I thought were interesting or engaging and study those, but not actually apply these steps, this very critical portion. And I thought I was special or different or better than. I don't know what I thought, but it was certainly self-sabotage. So you want to ask yourself right now, where are you stopping with these instructions? Okay? Read the next few paragraphs in this chapter yourself. Okay? I'm not going to read them out loud here. Read them yourself and go through them and ask yourself, which of these steps are you resisting? And go to work right there. Apply yourself. Do not skip. Do not pass go, if you will, because otherwise you will fail. You need to be humble here and not be so in your ego like I was and go step forward, okay? Now, he goes on to say a little bit later in this chapter, these instructions may at first seem abstract. Do not let this disturb you. Follow the instructions no matter how abstract or impractical they may at first appear to be. The time will soon come, if you do as you have been instructed, in spirit as well as in act, then a whole new universe of power will unfold to you. This is so critical, guys. So, at first, it might seem impractical. You might not have the time, you might not understand why it seems too woo-woo, it seems not specific enough, it doesn't seem rational enough. Whatever you're saying to yourself, I don't have time is usually the one. You're going to want to do it anyway, okay? And the time will soon come if you do as you've been instructed in spirit as well in act. So it can't just be rote. You need to do it in the spirit of faith and with feeling. You must emotionalize the statement that you are holding for yourself, your goal statement. And when you do, a whole new universe of power will unfold to you and you'll never go back. You'll just never go back. You'll always understand how to create whatever you want. Now, that doesn't come easily. I'm going to be very straight with you. There are so many things that you must unpack internally to become the person who knows how to create a goal statement and a belief statement that actually works for you. But stick with it. Here, Hill says, many philosophers have made the statement that man is the master of his own earthly destiny, but most of them have failed to say why he is the master. The reason that man may be the master of his own earthly status, and especially his financial status, is thoroughly explained in this chapter. And here we're in the chapter on auto-suggestion. Man may become the master of himself and of this environment because he has the power to influence his own subconscious mind and through it gain the cooperation of infinite intelligence, the one mind, all the energy that is. So, are you the master of your own fate? Most people don't understand how to actualize what they want, how to create what they want out of life. They have desires, they have a place that they want to go, they have a goal, but they are lost in terms of how to create whatever they want. They believe that it's impossible. They believe that it can't happen for them. They believe that it has to be hard work. They're confused about how it happens. You don't have to be confused. However, if you are resisting doing what Hill is suggesting here in this book, and most people do, let's just face it, most people won't act on what they read in this book. How many of you have read this book before doing the Morning Mindset Club, and have not executed on much of what was in this book? I know that that was the case for me. The first 4, 5, 6 times I've read it, I read this book every single day now. And I really think about how to apply this. And my level of awareness goes up and up, and my level of persistence goes up and up, and what I take action on goes up and up. Now, this book in and of itself is not the only thing that has created success in my life. But if you truly study it and get the help to go to the next level, levels of awareness, level of action, level of persistence, you will come to find that you understand how to be the master of your own fate. But even super smart women, even the ambitious types, even the ones that are committed to their personal growth, to their personal development, tend to get distracted because of the subconscious programming. They lose their focus. So I found that I needed more accountability to actually become the master of my own fate. Because it's like turning the Titanic at first. The boat, your boat, has so much steam going in one direction, but that's not the direction that you actually want to go in. Your goal is over there, a full 180 from where your subconscious programming is directing you to go. And it's like turning the Titanic. The Titanic is in friggin' motion. It's going fast in a particular direction. Don't let it hit that iceberg. not sure if that analogy works, but throwing it in there. You must turn the Titanic. And in order to do that, you need to be persistent and you need to be willing to take the next step and the next step and the next step. For me, that required getting help because I was at a certain level of awareness and I was getting certain results and I wasn't turning the Titanic. If I didn't get help, I would have the intellectual understanding, but the Titanic was still gonna go over there. And I saw that. I had enough understanding to realize that alone, I wasn't gonna be able to turn the Titanic. I had some tools, but I wasn't able to stay focused on them, stay accountable on them, stay in it enough. So whatever it is for you, how are you going to take this to the next level? Because your riches, your good, your goal that you desire is accessed at a higher level of awareness. So are you doing the necessary things to raise your awareness? Or are you trying to get from where you are now, your current level of awareness, is that where you're trying to move from? No, you have to move from that higher level of awareness. And you have to decide for yourself. Are you going to do it quickly or slowly? Now, you have to decide that. So you can, are you going to make that decision so you can keep experiencing even more in your life? Things that you haven't even imagined or dreamed of yet. Are you going to do it later and limit the expression of your potential? Are you going to say, I want to be fully lit up. I'm going for great. I deserve great. Or are you going to say, this is what I have right now. This is good enough. Because you're either growing or you're dying. You're either creating or disintegrating. And it requires that you master your own fate. But that is so hard to do when the Titanic is going in a different direction. Are you going to be unstoppable? Or are you going to be mired in your own story, continually working from the same level of awareness that you are now? That is the question that I have for you today. And as we finish up this chapter on auto-suggestion, I will tell you, I was not always committed to my greatness. I was someone committed to learning about myself. I was committed to personal growth, but I wasn't always committed to doing the next level thing for myself. I let all sorts of things stop me. Money and time were my biggest excuses. I didn't have the money and didn't have the time, but energy was another one. I didn't have the energy for that. I was going to be overwhelmed. I was going to be exhausted. And quite frankly, a lot of the time I was, but that was just because I was letting the subconscious mind determine my limits. So you must stay persistent with this. You must. So with that, we wrap up the chapter on auto-suggestion. Today we start chapter 5 of Think and Grow Rich, which is the fourth step towards riches. This chapter is on specialized knowledge. Hill says, knowledge will not attract money unless it's organized and intelligently directed through practical plans of action to the definite end of accumulation of money. Lack of understanding of this fact has been the source of confusion to millions of people who falsely believe that knowledge is power. It is nothing of the sort. Knowledge is only potential power. It becomes power only when and if it is organized into definite plans of action and directed to a definite end. So this is so incredibly impactful and powerful. So what you need to understand here is that you must have a goal. You must have a definite end. What are you going after? Are you clear about that? Much of what we've worked on up until this point has been about clarifying that big desire that you have and putting that into a concrete goal. And then once you have that goal, then you must organize and intelligently direct knowledge through practical plans of action towards achieving that goal. In this case, Hill's talking about a goal of accumulation of money. But let's say you're an actor and you're taking an acting class. You're learning your craft. You can learn for the sake of learning, or you can learn and apply it to a goal. I want to get that role. I want to achieve that Oscar, that reward. I want to be the star of a movie that's directed by this director. You have some sort of goal that you are putting that new knowledge towards. This is so very important, and you must do this whether it's a financial goal or an impact goal. Now, the goal of an Oscar would have a financial reward. The goal of having that role in that particular movie would have a financial reward. So this is not removed of the finances, the accumulation of money, but I'm trying to expand your thinking here about how this is applied. So in business, you must have specialized knowledge towards a definite goal. So what is your goal? Are you clear on that? And what are you learning in order to achieve that goal? What are you learning in order to achieve that goal? We are going to get to how to acquire knowledge without you actually learning it yourself in a little bit. But for today, look at this. Look at what you need to learn to achieve your goal. Okay, for the bonus content for this episode, I want to go back to the Albert Einstein quote that I shared with you, where he says that the intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is a faithful servant, but we've created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift, the sacred gift of the intuitive mind. So let's talk about the intuitive mind. We have learned how not to trust ourselves, how not to trust our intuition. And this has been programmed out of us, educated out of us. Now, this is not to say that you shouldn't use your rational mind. It is an incredibly powerful aspect of thinking that you must learn how to use as well. You need to understand cause and effect. You need to be able to think rationally. This is a great achievement. You want to use this. We are not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. However, in the process of looking at rational thinking, using our rational thinking, we stop trusting this knowing voice that is inside of us. We stop trusting the connection that we have to all that is, to the energy of life, to life force, to the universe. And the law of vibration says that you will be matched, you will vibrate at the level of thought that you are thinking at. So if you are thinking at a certain level, you have a certain expectation, you're imagining certain things, you are calling in certain desires, you're thinking and even fantasizing in a certain way about something, you will have intuitive hits, if you will, that match that level of desire, that level of thinking, that level of imagination. And you will get an intuitive hit that matches it, that's vibrating at the same level. Now, you must listen to that. That is your intuition. That is a deep knowing. That is the universe matching you at this new level. And if you listen, if you really pay attention, if you don't discount it, and if you act on it, you will make everything in your life easier. And what I mean specifically by that is you will make achieving the results that you actually desire, not the results that you don't want, but the results that you actually desire, so much easier. This is the manifestation process, but it requires that you hear your intuition, you recognize it as the truth, and you act on it. And to do that consistently over and over again, you must recalibrate your knowingness. You must start understanding the difference between a fear-based thought speaking to you and your intuition. And you will only know this if you put it to the test, if you act on your intuition and you get that feedback, you will start calibrating yourself and you will start trusting yourself. But without that action, without you going for it, you won't be able to calibrate and you will never trust yourself and you will lose your inherent power of intuition, which will make everything easier. So do this process, take that action, and rock it out and be unstoppable. I'm Amira Alvarez. Thank you for joining me. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining us and for being part of the Unstoppable Woman Movement. This special series is a part of our Morning Mindset Club and comes to you here on the podcast every Saturday morning. If you'd like to join the Morning Mindset Club at no charge, you won't have to wait a whole week and can listen to this series in short daily snippets every morning. Plus, you'll get a quick implementation practice and mastery check-in to go along with it. You can find the Morning Mindset Club info in the show notes below, or just head over to theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. And as always, please share this podcast with two or three women who are ready for exponential growth and exponential wealth. And if you're game, we always appreciate a review on iTunes. That really helps us reach and elevate more women. Thanks so much, and be unstoppable.